This episode is brought to you by Hill's Pet Nutrition. Every shelter pet deserves a second chance, and you're making it possible for thousands of them every day. Because when you feed your pet Hill's, you help feed a shelter pet, which helps make them healthy, happy, and more adoptable, changing their life forever. So they can change yours. Over 14 million shelter pets fed and adopted. Science did that. Visit hillspet.com/podcast to learn more.
Warning, The Savage Nation contains adult language, adult content, psychological nudity. Listener discretion is advised. The Westwood One Podcast Network presents The Savage Nation. It's savage, uncut, unfiltered, and raw. Home of borders, language, culture, and here he is, New York Times best-selling author and National Radio Hall of Fame inductee, Michael Savage.
Welcome to the show. You try it someday. You try it someday. And I don't use drugs. I don't take medication. I'm on vitamins, little wine, once in a while vodka, little bicycle riding, push-ups, little weights, garlic, and the allegory of the cave. What keeps me going is my great knowledge of the past and my look into the future. I tried to talk yesterday about Plato's allegory of the cave, and I'm not putting the audience down. It's a very interesting story because that's what we're living in right now, is that we are humankind, as were the ancient Greeks, and we can think, we can speak, we can tweet, we can comment on radio without having a full awareness of the realm of forms, according to Plato. And what does this allegory mean? In the allegory, Plato likens people who are untutored in the theory of forms to prisoners chained in a cave, unable to turn their heads. All the prisoners can see is the wall of the cave. And behind the prisoners, whose heads are locked forward, burns a fire. And that is like a spotlight behind their heads. And between the fire and the prisoners, there is a walkway, a parapet, along which puppeteers can walk. And the puppeteers are behind the prisoners. And what do the puppeteers do behind us? They hold up puppets that cast shadows on the wall of the cave. Now, we, the prisoners, are unable to see these puppets that they're holding, which the real objects are not seen either. What we, the prisoners, see and hear are shadows and echoes cast by objects that we do not even see. And so we, the people, the population, mistake appearance for reality. And we think that the things that we see on the wall, which means television or in the newspapers, are real. But we don't know the real causes of the shadows. And so when we, the prisoners, talk, what are we talking about? We're talking about the shadows on the wall. We don't even know what the actual reality is. And, of course, it's an allegory that still holds up. And people are saying, well, what about that New York Times profile? I don't want to dwell on it. I think it's an interesting piece unto itself. It was meant to reach the president. It was meant to help the president. It was meant to shake up those around the president who are not doing him a great service by hiding from him what's actually going on amongst we, the prisoners of this population, because we, the prisoners, get to practice our democracy once every few years. And that will come up again in 2020 when we get a chance to have our little limited democracy. We live in a dictatorship, as you know, punctuated by occasional feelings that we're living in a democracy. And I think the president needs to understand that the prisoners inside the cave are not really as dumb as the advisors around him would have him believe, by the way. Now, there are other topics that are agitating me, and I need hours to go into them. I believe that the girl from Queens, who won by 4,000 votes, who was a dumb bartender, not a smart one. I met smart bartenders. This is an idiot. This is the type who spit in drinks and stole tips. But she's a diehard communist, hates America. And now I say that occasional cortex must be censured or thrown out of Congress for being a Holocaust denier. Now, listen to what I'm saying to you. When you equate the detention that the illegal alien children are afforded here in this country, television, medical care, every kind of care you can imagine, food, clothing, no work. When you equate that with concentration camps, what you are doing is denying the Holocaust. The last I checked, Facebook banned Holocaust deniers. Twitter banned Holocaust deniers. And yet we in America have to put up with a Holocaust denier called Occasional Cortex? Why? Who is she? She's a nobody. She has committed one of the gravest crimes of our time by conflating the Holocaust and the killing of 6 million Jews and 3 million non-Jews by the Nazis with the way we detain illegal alien children at the border. You say, well, it's just words. You're wrong. Everything begins with words. Everything begins with words. I have taught you this many times in this classroom. The Nazis enacted the Holocaust, if you want to talk about that, but it didn't begin with the Nazis. It began a century before with the French. It was French anti-Semites who were publishing anti-Jewish statements that led to the Germans killing the Jews. Occasional Cortex is in very bad company. She is not just a drunk bartender from Jackson Heights anymore. She is in the U.S. Congress. She needs to be censured and thrown out of Congress for denying the Holocaust. Now, why is the Democrat Party, the new Democrat Party, so anti-Semitic? And by the way, while we're at that, why was Congress today wasting its time with hearings on reparations for African Americans? 98% of Americans oppose reparations, including educated black people, for 1,000 reasons, which I've covered on this show many times. Many times. There is not a single African American in this country who is or has been a slave. However, there are numerous Caucasian people who have suffered directly from the Civil War as a result of the Civil War where the slaves were freed. So if you want to talk about reparations, let's start with the descendants of Eddie, who lost their grand, and the family went into destitution as a result of Lincoln's Civil War. Now, I've received many comments on many topics since the article came out, and I'll read just a few from some very smart people, but I can't leave the Holocaust behind. I got to tell you again, when you have a sitting congresswoman conflating the way we treat, the way we beautifully treat these illegal alien children, medical care, you can't imagine the care they are given, television, games, you can't imagine it, to what was done to Jews in World War II by the Nazis, you realize how far Congress has fallen. Last December, I was invited to the White House to a Jewish party, a Hanukkah party. It was a high point in my life for many reasons. The day of that invitation, I happened to have gone to the Holocaust Museum, the United States Holocaust Museum. Now, I don't dwell on the Holocaust. I decided a long time ago to not dwell on the bad because I can't go forward. If I think about horrors like that, if they're actually real, it paralyzes me. But I went there that day, and when I came back to my hotel room after looking at the faces of the ordinary Germans who happened to have been Jewish, who were simply citizens, they weren't even political, most of them. I saw pictures of them swimming in rivers and lakes in the 1930s. They looked just like any American kid. And then I saw them later on as they were degraded and such. And I saw the pictures, the hundreds and thousands of pictures of real people who lived during the Holocaust. And I was given a little passport of one of them, who I never met, named Meyer List, October 10th, 1907, born in Poland. He was arrested, thrown into prison, and, of course, eventually killed. The fact is, I went back to my hotel room and I pulled the shades and I had to sleep for 2 hours. I couldn't get the images out of my mind. Because this could happen again. And it won't come from the right wing. It'll come from the left. It will come from the occasional cortexes. They will be the ones to build the concentration camps, as their psychic cousins did in China, in the Soviet Union, and in Cambodia. It can happen here, and it won't come from the right, because everyone looks at the right and fears them. The media has very wisely taken the shadows on the wall and distorted them so that you think that a nationalist is the Nazi, when the real threat and the real Nazi are the occasional cortex and the leftists, like herself. They are the real danger. They are the young pioneers of the communist movement. They are the Red Brigades. They are the Khmer Rouge of our time. Comments on the New York Times article from Savage Friends. One came from a major conservative TV star, whose name I will not mention. And she wrote, "I don't really care to pick apart the only person who had the guts and grit to try to fix the mess in Washington," she wrote. "No one's 100%. He's not. I'm not. You're not. I personally don't want to be lauded by the New York Times and never will be. That's her position. Another friend said this. Which one is this? Another one is a very important military hero. Said, Michael, it seems pretty good. It definitely portrays you as not succumbing to lemming pressure and standing your ground as you always have. Naturally, I wish the interviewer covered more of your eclectic past and passion in general. It is most likely a line he himself wasn't willing to cross because it may have made him look as though you drew him into a trance, alienating his own reader base at the New York Times who couldn't accept the reality of Silent Brother, for example. Regardless, unlike most, you can sleep peacefully once again, knowing you can't be bought. Finally, another friend said this to me. Look, Savage, keep it up. And this guy was really powerful in, I can't get close to it, how can I say? He's one of the key advisors to the whole Trump thing, who's no longer there, let's put it to you that way. He said, look, Michael, Trump needs help, not the fawning of his followers. There is clearly an enthusiasm gap, and last night was just more S. What are the top three things, Savage, you feel he must accomplish or do in order to both win and move the country forward? Then he said, you don't need access. It doesn't mean anything. What you can do is help shape the agenda. He needs help, or he is not going to continue to be president. You, Savage, can provide that help. Then he finished finally by saying, Savage, we have to do this to force him to complete the task he was elected to do. If we don't get these things done, then it's all been a waste of time. There is not one thing you talk about that's not dead spot on. And then I got an email a minute before the show from Alex Marlowe of Breitbart. And he said to me, Michael, can you send me an exclusive quote on the border situation? We'll play it up big in Breitbart. I'm going to read it to you first here on the Savage Nation right now. Step one, eliminate the 501c3 status of Catholic charities and the other gangs flooding the U.S. with illegals. Instant stop to the flow. Do not threaten Mr. Trump, but do it and then announce it. Do it, then announce it. Stop signaling. Don't give away your battle plans. Cut off the 501c3 overnight with executive order. You want to stop the flood? Start with Catholic charities. Eliminate their nonprofit status. And do it with all the other groups that are capitalizing on this. Step two. Begin by deporting the non-citizens in U.S. prisons. Did you know that almost 28% of the entire prison population are illegal aliens? Do not announce in advance. Just start deporting them. Announce it after they are on the buses and on the way. Those are two steps the president can take to save this nation right now. Will he or won't he?
Savage.
Hey, here's a question. How did you sleep last night? Did you spend the night tossing and turning, worrying? Now look, if you're struggling to get a good night's sleep, you've got to try a Purple mattress. The founders of Purple are two brothers who have been developing cushioning technology for 30 years on things like medical beds, wheelchairs. Well, in 2016, they finally decided to use their patented comfort technology to create Purple, the world's most scientific mattress. Now, what does that mean? How is Purple different from other mattresses? Listen, the Purple mattress will probably feel different than anything you've ever experienced. Why? Because it uses the brand new material that was developed by an actual rocket scientist. It was not like the memory foam that I'm used to or you're used to. No. The purple material feels unique because it's both firm and soft at the very same time. So it keeps everything supported while still feeling really comfortable. Plus, it's breathable. Unlike foams, it's breathable, so it sleeps cool. It ends up giving you the zero gravity-like feel, so it works for any sleeping position. Okay, 100-night risk-free trial. You're not satisfied? You can return your mattress for a full refund. It's backed by a 10-year warranty, free shipping and returns, free in-home setup, old mattress removal. You ready? You're going to love Purple. And right now, my listeners will get a free Purple pillow with the purchase of a mattress. That's in addition to the great free gifts they're offering site-wide. Just text SAVAGE to 84-888. The only way to get this free pillow is to do this. You ready? Text SAVAGE to 84-888. That's SAVAGE to 84888. Text SAVAGE to 84888. SAVAGE to 84888. Message and data rates may apply.
Hi, everybody. I'm Katie Segal.
And I'm Kurt Sutter.
And welcome to our new podcast called Pi, People, Influences, and Experiences.
Yes, it's sort of the get to know you at a deeper level, the who, what, when, where, and why you are, rather than what it is you do.
Absolutely. We're not going to talk too much about what people do. We just want to know about their families, where they come from, you know, what shapes their parenting if they have kids, what shapes their marriages if they're married. We just want to be really nosy. We want to get in there.
A deep dive into nature and nurture.
And we started it because there are a lot of people that we don't know that we are curious about.
Right. And I have no friends. So for me, it's, you know.
Trying to get them out of the house.
Listen to it on whatever you listen to podcasts on.
Yeah, podcast, homecast.
Your podcasting apparatus. Watch it on the YouTube.
He's aging himself.
I demand that Occasional Cortex be censured in Congress for distorting the history of the Holocaust and spitting on the grave of 6 million Jews and 3 to 4 million non-Jews who were actually tortured in concentration camps. We must set the record straight. I've also asked, why is the Democrat Party becoming so anti-Semitic? And here's a crazy one. Why is Congress having hearings on reparations for African Americans today when we have far bigger immediate problems in America, such as the flood of illegal aliens, destroying our social service networks, wrecking our schools and hospitals, and we're sitting here talking about reparations from the Civil War era? And listen to some of the idiots who spoke today on this. Danny Glover, the great Nobel Prize winning thinker, Danny Glover, spoke on reparations. Well, you know, a while ago I covered this. On February 22nd, 2019, I wrote, let me be very clear. I am an immigrant son. I have never taken a nickel from a slave. My family has never profited from slavery. Blacks did not build anything that my family profited from ever. Now, there are some rich white families who have profited from slavery. And if people have grievances, that's who they should go to. There are corporations who may have initially profited from slavery. That's who they should go to. The King of Spain profited greatly from slavery. The Arabian kings profited greatly from slavery. But I, as an American, an immigrant son, never kept a slave, never benefited from slavery. One of the biggest lies ever promulgated by the black revisionist historians, it's an absolute lie to say that black slavery built America. That's like saying the Chinese who were conscripted to build a railroad built California. Well, they didn't build California. They built the railroad tracks. Moreover, you never hear the Chinese screaming for reparations. When have you last heard the Chinese screaming that someone owes them something? If it is true that their antecedents were virtual slaves building the railroads in California, how is that the Chinese have done so well in America? Two generations later, you don't hear the Chinese screaming that anybody owes them anything. If you really want to get into this, I would say that I am owed reparations for what I've paid, personally. I am so sick and tired of this discussion that I'm going to fight back. I have had jobs stolen from me as a result of affirmative action. I have paid criminal levels of taxation to support people on the bottom who don't work and to support police and jails and God knows what for people who don't work. I'm sick of it, and I'm sure I'm not the only person sick of this reparations talk. So I'm going to tell you right now, since the left is going to make race very important, as they did today, I'm ready for the fight. I'm not going to sit here and roll over and be afraid of you calling me names because I gave it back to you as good as I get it. And let me tell you something else. The balance sheet is not complete. You owe me money. I don't owe you anything. I've had my birthright stolen because of people who are far less qualified than I. I've had my pockets picked to support people who are not as productive as I am, and I am sick of it. And I'm never going to pay reparations. How about you? Tom, line one, you're on the Savage Nation. What's your topic?
Hey, I was just calling real quick. Ms. Cortez, she reminds me of Chauncey Gardner from Being There. If you remember the movie with Peter Sellers?
Yes, I know. She's the accidental congresswoman, but she doesn't know when to shut her big trap. Here is a dummy who won by 4,000 votes, yet she is revered by the slugs in the media as some Nobel Prize winning brain, simply because A, she's Hispanic, B, she's a woman, and C, she's a communist. Now throw in that she hates white people in America, and more importantly, that she hates Trump, and now you understand the rest of the story. This is the Savage Nation. Phone number is 855-400-7282, where we have other topics to cover. We have not yet played the Nobel Prize-winning genius Danny Glover speaking before Congress today in favor of reparations for blacks. He's really suffered, hasn't he? Or how about Cory Booker wanting reparations. He's really suffered, hasn't he? As the governor of wherever he's the governor. They've all really suffered, haven't they?
Savage.
What do you worry more about? What's your biggest worry? Well, a recent Gallup survey shows Americans worry more about burglary than any other crime. More than mugging, more than terrorism, more than theft in cars, more than murder. Burglaries. There are over 2 million burglaries reported every year. You heard me? That's one every 13 seconds. And what's crazy is that only one in five homes have home security. Maybe because most companies really don't make it easy. They make it confusing, expensive, a hassle. That's why I chose SimpliSafe. And I'm telling you about it. SimpliSafe protects your whole home, every window, every room, every door, every skylight with 24/7 monitoring for just a fraction of the cost. Their police dispatch, listen to this, is up to 3.5 times faster because they use video verification. And here's what's really great. There's no contract, no hidden fees, no fine print. They've designed it to blend right into your home. There's no wires, no drilling. It's easy to order, easy to set up. Usually in under an hour, you could do it yourself. SimpliSafe has won a ton of awards from CNET to the New York Times as wire cutter. Prices are always fair and honest. Around-the-clock monitoring is just $15 a month. How much is your safety worth? Visit SimpliSafe.com/Michael Savage. SimpliSafe.com/Michael Savage. You'll get free shipping and a 60-day risk-free trial in addition to peace of mind. You've got nothing to lose except your worries. Go now and be sure to go to SimpliSafe.com/Michael Savage so they know you're supporting this podcast. You got that right? That's SimpliSafe.com/Michael Savage, and thank you very much.
Hi, this is Rachel Yucatel, and I'm here to invite you to listen to my podcast, Misunderstood with Rachel Yucatel. This podcast delves into the lives of those who have been reduced to a single headline. Each episode will take a closer look at the stories of those who are on a mission to change their narrative. Join me as we uncover the truth behind the misconceptions, shed light on the stories of those who have perhaps been wrongfully portrayed, explore the complexities of the human experience, and celebrate the power of second chances. Who doesn't love a good comeback story?
I'm going to post my monologue on reparations never on michaelsavage.com, and we will do an entire monologue, rather an entire podcast on this today and tomorrow. For the Democrats to keep pandering to African Americans by going to the lowest possible level is something we've come to expect from them, has it not? But does it really do the nation and African Americans any good to make such claims? Does it not incite hatred between the races? Does it not make poor white people fume inside when they hear crap like this? Whites working three jobs? They have to listen to this garbage? Now let's listen to a man who would be president. I do not think he's capable of being the president of the local ASPCA. In fact, I would vote against that. The dogs would probably die under his watch. Here's Cory Booker, known as Spartacus, at today's reparations hearing. Listen to this in 09.
And I feel a sense of anger where we are in the United States of America, where we have not had direct conversations all about a lot of the root causes of the inequities and the pain and the hurt manifested in economic disparities, manifested in health disparities, manifested
okay,
in a
turn him
more. Criminal
yeah, you're really suffering. You really look poor and weak. Okay, you know, you're so full of hot air, it's hard to even imagine how the idiots of New Jersey made you governor. But it got even better today. Here's Danny Glover, known for his genius, again speaking in favor of reparations. He's really suffered, hasn't he? A fifth-rate thespian. He's done better than he normally would have done. Listen to him now in 10.
I close, with the insightful and still relevant words of Dr. Martin Luther King Jr. in 1968. And I quote, why
right,
is
turn
the
it
issue
That's enough
of...
Already. Stop quoting him. Tell us what you think, Danny. Then, of course, it wouldn't be complete if I didn't play... the dimmest light bulb in the history of the American media. I told you this many times, and I'll repeat it again. If you go into a light bulb store or a rack at Home Depot for light bulbs, you got 100 watts, 60 watts, maybe a 40. You got 20 lamp watt bulbs. And then there are small bulbs for the back of refrigerators and ovens called utility light bulbs. They're about 5 watts. That would be Don Lemon on CNN. He's about a utility bulb level of intelligence. Here he is in clip 11.
Think about Hitler. Think about any of those people. Would you say that that person is allowed, or let's put it this way,
Aren't you not?
If you could look back on...
Go.
Say, well,
why would the teacher
I'm
throw him
so
out of the
glad
classroom?
That person...
Stop. Get him out of my classroom. Throw him out. Send him back three grades, would you please? Put him back to the third grade. But okay, that's the world we're living in. You're telling me he's not there because they wanted to show that they were fair and equal? He's there because of his genius? Okay, so we're talking about the anti-Semitic elements in the Democrat Party, conflating the Holocaust with the way children are treated on the border, calling it concentration camps. We're then talking about the idiot Democrats talking about reparations for blacks today, which have nothing to do with reality. And I have talked about that. And I want to talk about it just a little bit more. There are other people owed reparations, which I have talked about. The Chinese have built the railroads. They're not asking for it. Instead, they just worked hard and moved ahead in society. They didn't bellyache for the next seven generations. The Irish were treated worse than dogs when they came over. Did you know that? Italians were spit upon and called every name under the sun. How come they don't ask for reparations? Want me to go on? Reparations to African Americans have already been paid. Since the passage of the Civil Rights Acts and the advent of the Great Society in 1965, trillions of dollars in transfer payments have been made to African Americans in the form of welfare benefits and racial preferences. Racial preferences in contracts and job placements and educational admissions. Those are all reparations that have been paid for the last 40 years, all under the rationale of redressing historic racial grievances. Now, it is said that further reparations are necessary to achieve a healing between African Americans and other Americans. If trillion-dollar restitutions and a wholesale rewriting of American law in order to accommodate racial preferences for African Americans is not enough to achieve a healing, tell me what will. The answer is nothing. It's a racket, it's a shakedown, and it is un-American. Secondly, it turns African Americans into victims. It sends a damaging message to the African American community. No evidence-based attempt has been made to prove that living individuals have been adversely affected by a slave system that was ended over 150 years ago. However, there is plenty of evidence that the hardships that occurred were hardships that individuals could and did overcome. The black middle class in America today is a prosperous community that is now larger in absolute terms than the black underclass. Does its existence not suggest that economic adversity is the result of failures of individual character rather than the lingering after effects of racial discrimination and a slave system that ceased to exist well over a century ago? Example, West Indian blacks in America are also descended from slaves, but their average incomes are equivalent to the average income of whites and nearly 25% higher than the average incomes of American-born blacks. How is it that slavery adversely affected one large group of descendants but not the other? How can government be expected to decide an issue that is so subjective and yet so critical to the case itself? Again, I will reiterate that if you want to make reparations for slavery, well, begin with the Arabian kings who profited greatly as slave traders. Then go to the king of Spain and his descendants who profited greatly from slavery. And then go to all of the 3,000 black slave owner families who still exist. Did you know that black Africans and Arabs were responsible for enslaving the ancestors of African Americans? Did you know that? Did you know there were 3,000 black slave owners, in the antebellum United States? Are reparations to be paid by their descendants as well? I don't think so. I don't think so at all. So if you want to open up this can of worms, get ready to be devoured by them, because I will make them devour you with rational thought. This is Michael Savage. Now let's play a little more sound for you on the one and only Savage Nation. I'm greatly invigorated these last few days as a result of the fact that the article about me in the New York Times has invigorated a lot of thought about myself and about President Trump. Now, some of the headlines are wrong. His radio listeners revere Trump, but he's less sure. That's not the point of the article at all. Michael Savage, a conservative radio host, has drawn anger over his skepticism of the president. Anger from who? Who's angry at me? Joe from Fresno? As I said in the article, Trump is not a human being to many people. He's a demigod, which is very dangerous. Obama was a demigod to many people, which was dangerous. And I said so at that time. We do not live in a dictatorship. We live in a republic. We don't worship our presidents, whether they be Obama, a Democrat Obama, or Republican Trump. We don't worship our leaders. You may respect them if you wish, but you don't worship them. That's what makes this nation different than the nations that preceded it. However, I am not playing with fire by criticizing the man I once hailed as the Winston Churchill of our time. Do you think I'm going to get up every morning and do nothing but say how great he is? Do you think I am the beached whale? I do not have shoe polish on my tongue. I did not get the supply sent by the White House. Apparently, it all went to him and his acolytes. Now, I am a lightning rod in radio. I always have been. And, Frank, what can I do about it? What can I do about it? I got to tell you, call it the way I see it. I call balls. I call strikes. I'm the best umpire in the talk radio business. I mean, if a batter swings and misses, what shall I say? Look, hey, Johnny, that was great. Go run around the bases now and take a homer. Take a run, Johnny. I'm not one of those fathers that when the kid swings and misses, I said, good job, Johnny. Good job, Johnny. Johnny doesn't learn how to hit the ball if you tell him he's great when he misses, does he? And that goes for Johnny and it goes for a president. And the best advice I have for all of you is to vote for Donald Trump, but try to make him do the things he promised to do, irrespective of the left-wing fanatics in the media and in the Democrat Party. And as I say, well, what can he do? His hands are tied. No, they're not. No, excuse me, they're not tied. He has immense powers as chief executive, and I've given you two of them today. I'll give you two more right now if you don't mind. He doesn't have to go to Congress and beg Charles Schumer or Nancy Pelosi. He doesn't have to ask that sarcophagus in his skirt for her opinion. He doesn't need a vote to do the following. I'll give it to you again because no one else has come up with it. I'm known for ideas. That's why so many of my books have been bestsellers. It wasn't simply because I hocked them and gave you a promotion every day. If there was nothing in them, you wouldn't have bought them and you wouldn't have gone back for the next one. So let me give you some new ideas you haven't heard yet, except on this show. Donald Trump has the power as executive of this nation, with the stroke of a pen, an executive order, to eliminate the 501c3 status of Catholic charities and all of the other non-profit so-called groups that are profiting in the billions by bringing in illegal aliens. Why hasn't he done it? Yeah. Ask him why not. Ask him why he's not gone after the Koch brothers, who make a fortune upon their fortune providing services for illegal aliens. Did you know that? Did you know that? Okay, well, now you know that. If you think it's limited to Catholic charities and the left, you are mistaken. If you want to sit and demonize George Soros, you wouldn't be wrong. But he's not alone in making money off this terrible, terrible situation of our nation being destroyed. Now, this is not to say that people who are coming here are all bad. However, the lifeboat is full. We have our own poor. We have our own homeless in the streets. How many times do I have to tell you? The lifeboat is full, and many people are extras on life stage. Just look at the streets in our big cities. What do you think homeless people are? They are the extras on life's stage. We cannot take care of them. With all the money, they're still shooting up drugs, defecating in the streets, urinating in mailboxes, attacking random strangers in the street. And you're telling me we need millions or more of the underclass from another country when most of them are illiterate in Spanish? No, you're wrong if you say that. That's not compassion. That's foolishness, true foolishness. So, you know, I've given you some good ideas. The president has the power right now, with the stroke of a pen, to eliminate the nonprofit status of Catholic charities and all the other gangs that are bringing them in. He has another power. He's talked about deporting millions. You know that's not going to happen. It'll be forgotten by Sunday. But he can do something if he wants to deport. You know what he can do? 28% of all of our prisoners are illegal aliens, so we're here not for immigration violations. They've committed other felonies, real bad ones. 28%, one out of three prisoners, could be rounded up and deported right out of our prisons, bussed and flown out of the nation without any announcement. Trump should not signal this. That would avoid the ACLU and the Occupy mobs. Just do it.
Savage.
Look, you can't prevent aging. That's a fact of life. And with aging comes unwelcome changes you wish you could change, most notably in your skin. That's what seems to go first. Look at pictures from years ago, and you can see how much your jawline has changed. Yeah, but it doesn't have to change with Chamonix MDL technology. Genucel's brand-new jawline treatment specifically targets the delicate skin on the neck area for tight, healthy, younger-looking skin. Robin from Lubbock, Texas, says, I put Genucel jawline cream on my neck 2 or 3 days ago. This is the best my neck has looked in 20 years. People told me my face looks young. You will see your mirror smile back at you or 100% of your money back, no questions asked. Call now and the classic Genucel for bags and puffiness is free with your order. How? call 800-SKIN-891, 800-SKIN-891, 800-SKIN-891. And to start seeing results in 12 hours or less, Genucel Immediate Effects is also yours for free. Your chin, neck, and jawline don't have to reveal your age. Call 800-SKIN-891 or go to Genucel.com. Get your two free gifts and free shipping now. Call 800-SKIN-891, 800-SKIN-891.
Lauren, we are sisters.
That's true.
And we host a celebrity-obsessed podcast called Pop Apologists.
We also love Taylor Swift. Chandler, how are you managing to cope while we await Taylor's new album?
Look, I want to be put into a medically induced coma and wake up on April 19th, but I'm not sure my insurance is going to cover it.
Join us on our pop culture podcast, Pop Apologists, where we will be dishing on all things celebrity news and deep diving every word and note of Taylor's new album.
Pop Apologists.
Pop Apologists.
This is the Savage Nation. We're talking about the idiocy of the Democrats, who will become the party of anti-Semitism and now the party of pandering to stupidity of the highest level. It wasn't bad enough that they persecuted Trump for two straight years with the false narrative of collusion with Russia. That's over with. So now they're jumping into religious bigotry. Now they're pandering to African Americans, which is an insult, by the way, to every African American who's made it on their own. I'll tell you, I'd be very uncomfortable. It's hard for me to say that because I know I'm not supposed to think how another person would feel if I'm not them. I find that rubbish. I mean, one of the great aspects of a human being is empathy. I can empathize with people. If I walk through Chinatown and I see a poor person still struggling in a little store, I empathize with that poor Chinese person, even though I'm not Chinese, because I remember my grandfather's struggles. And I see my grandfather in the Chinese store. Do you understand what empathy is? So I can empathize with African Americans and what they have suffered generations ago. And it does leave scars. Don't get me wrong. It does leave scars. On a collective consciousness level, something that the geniuses haven't used yet. I shouldn't have thrown it out there. You'll hear it tomorrow on CNN. In the collective consciousness, there is a suffering. However, it doesn't cripple a person. It often makes you stronger, by the way. It's the same with Jews in the Holocaust. Never, if you are of Jewish descent, sit and complain and complain and complain about what was done to Jews by the Nazis. Remember it, but don't make yourself a victim, because by doing so, you're doing three things wrong. One, you are imprisoning yourself in victimhood. That's a big one. If you walk around with a chip on your shoulder talking about the Holocaust, you are making yourself a lifetime prisoner. Number two, it dismisses all of the values of the beauty of the Jewish religion. That is not the defining moment of Judaism. By doing that, you've destroyed the religion itself. The religion stands aside from the anomalies of persecution. Do you understand that one? I'm not a rabbi. I'm Michael Savage.
The Westwood One Podcast Network.